you need another brief moment to let some of that lyric sink in, go ahead. There's a lot going on there, including that scornful wonder. There's a lot of truths about the church, and that's one way to respond to an ordination that we've just seen, and also perhaps helpful lead into a Reformation Day theme, which I invite you to follow along with me as we look, first of all, at Ephesians chapter 4. I'll be reading the first seven verses, which is saying of the faithfulness of the Lord to His church. He's the one foundation and one Lord, one faith, one birth, as we sang. Lots of oneness. And both morning and evening today will be in a Reformation Day mode, a little bit of celebration, if you will, not like it's shameless cheerleading, but we do take a little time to recognize a bit of our heritage here. There'll be at least four churches joining us here tonight to embrace the Word as we even share it together in Reformed teachings. Do you know what those are? Do you know what Reformed teachings are? You might think, what am I doing here? Well, I'd like to look at that. What it means to be reformed. It's on the sign out there. It's on your bulletin. It's on the website. Those kind of ways. Reformed. That's an actual word. Sometimes in the back of the church afterwards, I'll ask visitors, you know, it says reformed out there on the sign. What do you think that means? And then you find out that that's why they're here. It's they wanted to be at a reformed church as if it's some sort of a code word. Is reformed a code word? And if it is it like a secret code? Or is it something that you embrace wholeheartedly and understand? Reform, what is that? Is there something bigger going on here and deeper on the Lord's Day, even a Reformation Day? Let's talk a little bit about what reformed might mean as we begin that look by listening to these opening verses of Ephesians chapter 4. So as I read, hear the word of the Lord. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for your gift from heaven, for the Lord Jesus, for grace, for your Spirit, and for calling us into a new life of service in his name. Lord, encourage us today. Encourage us in our walk, even as we consider this word, this subject, on this day of rest, as people gathered in the name of Jesus. Amen. For my final point today, is it okay to anyone? You think, did I fall asleep? Not yet. I don't. That's just my clever opening line. For my final point today, I brought a sermon outline from 15 years ago. Can you all see that? And you say, oh yeah, I remember that one. There it is. Like 15 years ago, almost exactly. And September of 09. There it is. I'll get to that section later. And I thought, I want to go over those truths again. Maybe you've heard them in the meantime, maybe you have not. In the meantime, I have decided that I want to say even more than that. But then preachers had a problem when they do that. Sermons get longer. And they also consider things like, we also have another form today. So then things will be even longer. So what does one do? on a Reformation Day. Reformed people gathering, maybe to hear something about the Protestant Reformation 500 years ago. The solution, such as it is for today, is to do little portions of all the above. This is a risk I take. Grab some old points and some new points and put them together so you can get at least a taste of the topic that's surrounding what it means to be Reformed. At least when you see that word on a sign at a church like ours. And since numbers can be used as a teaching tool, and since many of you are very good with numbers, and they help you remember things, I'm going to use some numbers. I've got a dual outline today, help you out a little bit here. A title for today that is printed is Reformed by the Numbers. Let me ask you this. Do you remember your home phone number when you were 8 years old? Now, if you live in the same house, you know. But I didn't. I'm pretty sure, and I didn't confirm this, but the number in my head was 399-7228. Is that right, Paul? Yeah, okay. Yeah, and the reason we needed to know that as an 8-year-old is because we had to be home for dinner, and or maybe we got hurt playing ball, and you need to have access to the home number. I don't remember the area code back then, but so you call that number, and if you're, you know, still playing wiffle ball at gyms and you might be a little late, which wasn't going to work well, you need to call. So if you need to call home, it's good to have a number, right? I'm picking up on that image as we move along. We'll be dialing up a number as we dial into what it means for a church to be reformed. Going to start out with a statement summary that goes like this. At Grace URC, I'm going to personalize this. At Grace URC, our calling dials into a very particular connection. I'm anchoring that metaphor, and I'll be unfurling that. At Grace URC, our calling dials into a very particular connection. And I'll use specific numbers in the outline. I'd like to feature some of the numbers that do that. I'll be featuring a country, a code, and a character in each of these points. So 3 points with this number that sounds suspiciously like a phone number. You ready? 1-509-553-2111. 1-509-553-2111. By the way, this is only for illustration purposes. I tried calling the number. No one answered. But you never know. Just like 8675309. You just never know. We want to look at the connection today in this context of a Reformation Day. Not an actual phone number. I might say that again just to remind you if you forgot. We're walking through a Reformation theme. The reality that 500 years ago, a group gathered up by the Holy Spirit, we believe, wanted to bring order back to a church that had gotten a little messy. 500 years ago, it still informs our faith to this day. It goes back to the beginning of the world. It isn't just 500 years ago. Genesis, our truths, we find ourselves picking up there. Even in our first point, it's not just a Reformation Day, but on this Reformation Day, let me start you out with that first point I already mentioned. Our calling at Grace URC dials into a very particular country. With each of the 3 points and all these numbers, I'm going to use 2 sub-points. You know, you don't need to write all this down. But I have a designation and a destination for each of the numbers I give you. Okay? Designation and a destination. And the designation for a country is 1. Now, you might know that if you use phone calls, sometimes you have to start with a 1. And in our culture, that usually means your country. And for the United States, that's a 1. That's my image for you right here. The calling to a very particular country. And if you're a Christian, then do you know where you live? We went over this recently in the catechism. You live in Christ. That's where you live. He is your home. He is your country. You live in Him. His kingdom, His body, His church. And that is what Paul has been developing in this letter to the church at Ephesus. In chapters 1 and 2, we won't be reading all those, but if you glance at those, you may know this part of the the flow of this letter. He's been showing those who are far off, the far off ones, even the Gentiles, you've been brought near. You've been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. Right? By grace through faith in Christ. That's chapter 2. If you glance at a couple things, if you're close enough, you're reconciled to God in one body through the cross, verse 16 of chapter 2. Often for Reformed sermons, I read the first 10 verses of chapter 2 because those verses do just about anything I want to point out that show you distinctives, like you're dead and you need grace, and that's found only by faith in Jesus. But there, even in chapter 2, with the verses, no longer strangers and aliens, but fellow citizens with the saints, verse 19, members of the household of God, see that? Christians are welcome to a new home, new household, a new family, new community, a new country. That's my first point there. And that's all because of Jesus, his blood shed for you, because of his obedience earned for you, his righteousness given to you, his sacrifice for you, as expressed in this phrase, his blood shed for you on the cross. Do you believe that? If you don't believe that, then the rest of this is going to be a bit of a thud. Like when I start getting into the weeds of some distinctive theology, you think, okay, if you're not in Christ, if you're not made alive, everything I'm saying is nonsense, probably especially the part about Jesus on a cross. That's nonsensical. That's foolishness, as Paul says in a letter as well. You receive the grace by faith and all the spiritual blessings that Paul rattles off in chapter 1 of this letter. There's a lot of them. Just like one breath of a dozen verses. Faith grabs hold of all those because of Jesus. You need that? I need that. If you've never done that, then before the sermon gets too understandable, then you need to turn from your sin. You can just start that today and start heading toward the comfort where this last point ends. You turn from your sin, you turn to Jesus, because that's where you'll find life and comfort. It's the only place. If you want into his body, his country, start there. Called out of sin into him. And that leads to a quick overview of the verses we just read in terms of what I'm calling a destination. We're making use of the designation, number one, the country, right? Well, we also want to see where that new homeland, that new country leads you as a Christian. And that is, if I were to put it in one word, it leads you to oneness. The one leads you to oneness. That's the destination. One word summary dials into the number one. Here's your one calling verse. You see that there? Here, it's God. It's calling you to oneness. Verse one, if you're still looking at Ephesians 4, starts out this way. There's a therefore, which Paul uses a lot in his letters. And this, therefore, appears to be therefore, making a connection to the first half of his letter. Certainly the most recent part, but probably the whole emphasis of the first part, which is the gospel. You want blessings and you're dead, then you need grace and faith in Jesus so that the faraway ones get brought into the new country, the new home. That's a running start for the therefore here, connecting you to the Lord himself and into the service that he's about to develop in the final three chapters, beginning right about here in the letter. He's showing them in terms of conduct what this faith in Jesus looks like. And it finds expression in verses 1 through 3, which we've read and I'll read again. Evident for the Christians in the church, there's the called out ones, they walk a certain way. Pretty straightforward here, verses 1 through 3. See it? I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, as Paul, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Verse 2. So here's a quick how-to list, if you like those. Walking in oneness. Well, how? With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, right? So there, I like the emphasis on maintaining the unity. And the reason you're maintaining it is because it's already there. It's not like create unity, do trust falls together, go on ropes courses and build unity. The unity the Holy Spirit gives you, maintain that, and it looks like these very peaceful words offered in these opening verses of chapter 4. Oneness in this reality, in this place, in this people. It looks like something very good, and here's why. Because it's based on something good. It flows out of something good. It's the gospel. This is all because of who Jesus is, first three chapters, what he did for you on the cross, for his people, for his sheep, or as expressed by way of ones, look with me at how the designation connects to the destination. Paul develops unity in this way, picking up in verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. There's a lot going on there. This isn't expository sermon today per se. It's topical. Probably would have ended at verse 3 if it was. But those verses are developing the theme today for sure, and in particular, my excitement for the number 1. The word unity is set before you. We went over this recently in an evening service as well. The calling that you have given to you by the Spirit is a list of 7 ones right here. And they're showing you how this one God, by the way, just a little inside, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, all mentioned by name here. So it's a Trinitarian God. If you're wondering which God, it's this Trinitarian God. Is pleased to join his people together, even across all the barriers that Paul has been pointing to earlier in the letter. The barriers of nationality, male, female, young, old, if you will. Time is a barrier. And yet here we find in the storyline that from Adam to Abel to Enoch to Abraham, David, Jeremiah, John, Paul, Augustine, Calvin, Luther, Lewis, you, me, we, one Lord calls us as one people into his country, his kingdom, if you will. The number one points to the one who walk worthily in the one, the triune God. Lots of ones going on there. Unity in God's country for his people. That's big picture stuff. I want to start out with that, and also because that's how phone numbers start, with a country designation and a destination that goes with it. Oneness. Unifying, universal coverage for the calling of the called ones to the called ones. For those who identify and live in Christ, there's number one. It leads to a set of digits that connect to the call we are covering today, namely point 2. Our calling at Grace URC dials into a very particular code. It's point 2. If you know how phone numbers work, the next set of digits designate a particular area of the country, starting with the one. And here, we call that an area code. That's the code we're talking about here. And for our purposes, the designation, for illustration purposes only, are the numbers 509. 509. Sound familiar? That's our area code in Eastern Washington here, and that means that when a call is made to that designation, the destination of the call, somehow, with all computers that used to be people, lands your call, your voice, into Eastern Washington somewhere. This part of the country. Or, as we'll see, in this part of God's kingdom. So the calling now is getting applied more specifically from the country to the local code. And so here's the destination for the body of local believers. And I do want to illustrate this as well. I'm going to use ourselves. This is okay because this is our church. So here's the illustration for the area code. Grace, URC, NA. I'm going to include the NA because that's the formal name. So let's look at Grace URC under the area code for location and distinction as needed in our name, our identity, if you will, our denomination, our federation, whatever you want to call it. And we'll start with that, the federation version. The outside, still they're not all in our area code. Some are, but the United Reformed Churches in North America, that's the URCNA. I won't spend a lot of time on that. But united, we just went over that. It means the people are united in something. We share something in common. And someone would say, well, what unites you? You know. And then someone would say, Jesus. Well, that's true. His spirit, absolutely. The conviction that his word is inspired. Sure, that. But generally, Reformed people will have a way of, we're united around a very particular thing. And we'll get to that in just a moment. But I'll just tell you, it's the church order and the three forms of unity. So hold that thought. But we're united around something that you can point at in particular. Reformed, that's what we're dealing with today in the big picture. Churches, again, we're talking about churches. The plural, we got churches all over the globe. And we got church here in the local area. But there are United Reformed Churches in particular. And in North America, in very particular, the URCNA. We, these churches, agree upon a very particular set of teachings. The way we govern ourselves is particular. We have a church order. You saw an ordination of an elder. We believe in three offices, minister, elder, deacon. We have three assemblies, the council, the classes, consistory, if you count that, then synod. And we also have a articles of a church order, which we use to help order our government. So there's government stuff, and then there's doctrinal things. Three forms of unity, Belgian Confession, Heidelberg Catechism, Canons of Dort. I'm getting to those later, but it's all going by quickly. Remember that part about the taste by the numbers? In short, this part of our name connects us to our calling, which is further identified in the designation of grace, URCNA. Recently, I thought I'd put it on a post-it. I show you this from time to time. It's okay for you to think it's silly, but it's what I do. I grab post-its, and I put them in my calendar, and I think of things, and then I write them down. And I have an acronym for grace. You might have a better one. I want it to apply to the area code. That's why this is about grace, URCNA in particular. We serve here together in the 509 in this corner of God's country, his kingdom. What makes us distinct? Have you thought of that? The last point will be part of it. But then I started thinking just locally, what's the ethos? What's the vibe? Certainly the theology of grace points us to unity and what God has done for sinners. The unmerited favor that he is pleased to give. That's what grace means. We used the acronym recently. God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. Heard that a long time ago. I like that one. It's fine. I'm going to give you a different one that's more, not touchy-feely, but descriptive. I'm using adjectives on my post-it for the 509 set of believers serving here at this time in God's storytelling. What descriptions might you use for us? What actions even might apply here? I'll tell you what I got. G, I put generational. You know what that means? I mean, we went over this last week with Zechariah 8, the picture of the young and the old and the kids running around laughing and playing in the streets, and then we had some baptisms. There's if you look around, you'll see different ages. It's generation. It's intergenerational. It's multigenerational. I think that that's a distinctive when we gather together in worship and in life and on the streets of Zion. Ready is the letter R, so generational. You're ready. I'm not trying to flatter you, but I have observed that you all are ready. Ready for what? Ready to help. Ready to serve. Ready to listen. Ready to come alongside people. Certainly ready to pray. I've seen that for sure. And also, you're ready to learn. which is a great blessing for a body of believers, that we have a lot of learned people in the room, and yet you're not tired of learning. Again, not flattering you. It's just, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And it's noticed. You're ready. Generational ready. My letter A for grace, spelling it out, is affable. You think, what? Yeah, I think that fits. It's showing warmth and friendliness. Kind, easy to converse with, approachable, good-humored. You stay around after the service. You go downstairs afterwards. I get down there about once a decade, but I stay up here, see what's going on. Enjoy your cookies without me. And you invite people over into your homes, into your hearts, affable. Generational ready, affable, confessional. I'll deal with that more in just a moment, but I wanted to emphasize that featured in the GRACE acronym because we're not, I hope you know this and hope you like this, we're not kind of sort of confessional. Like in the back somewhere in the library, in the back of the shelf is something that's confessional. Like we bring it out here. Like this is identity stuff, identity issues. This is what we believe. We're going to teach it over and over and over. Happily, confessional, three forms of unity, etc. And finally, letter E. I put established. There are a lot of good ones. Generational, ready, affable, confessional. Established. We're established in the community. Praise the Lord. In this location, outreach efforts, the diaconate, good news clubs right there, gospel mission. Grounded in grace, G-R-A-C-E, N-A. Grounded in the grace given to us by Jesus who called us. Have you noticed this? He called you here. You're here because Jesus put you here in the 509. If you're still wondering why, well, evidently he's here calling you right now for this place in this area, graciously connecting you to also to this cosmic, universal, big picture church and homeland and country called out by King Jesus to serve everywhere. And yet at the same time, in that big picture, he's called you to serve in a very particular place, in a very particular time and location. Big picture one, local picture 509. But before we move to the final point of distinctive numbers, I do want to ask, again, not shamelessly, but curiously, do you feel connected in the 509 here, in this church, in your calling even, your service, in your worship, in particular in this body? And do you feel like you're able to walk, verse 2, in a manner worthy of the calling? Remember the Lord's calling. Here you are with these saints here. Do you feel it? Sons and daughters, brothers and sisters at Grace URC. And are you, verse 3, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace with these people? You can look around. Can you do life with these people? Exchanging stories and sorrows and praying with, praying for, singing with, laughing with, serving with, walking with each other in the Spirit all the way to Zion. I can speak for myself on that. It's been 27 plus years in this context with you. We're walking together at Grace URC in the grace that we've been given as a blessing. We've walked together. We've talked quite a bit. We have laughed for sure. We have wept. We have shared coffee and cakes. Memories, aspirations, babies, going forward, over and over, gathering in the Lord to hear good news, same good news, together. And I'll ask it, I could assert it, but I'll ask it kindly. Doesn't every true believer need that? A body? a local body, a connection to Christ and his flock. It's happening around the globe. Is it happening here, even with you? Do you need that? I do. I need a local body. And at this location in God's kingdom, you are welcome. You're welcome as a church. You're welcome as a Christian. Grace URC has been called to dial into this very particular country, that's a one, with this very particular code, 509. And finally for today, Grace URC is called to dial into a very particular character. A character, which means a type. It's a kind of something. And the kind of character that I'm pointing at here in my notes is a commitment to the things I already mentioned and to particular convictions, teachings. You're convinced of things in God's Word, the truth that's revealed in a particular way. And I'm going to emphasize, like I did a couple months ago, the comfort. I could have ended this point with, we're dialing into a very particular comfort. That flows out of the character. So let's get there this way. I'll point at the comfort that goes with the character by way of the designation. Some of you have heard this. If not, this is where I now am grabbing for my ancient notes. And here's the designation. It's 553-2111. This comes up from time to time. I can do the rest of this part without looking at notes. 553-2111. I'm going to look at notes just to make sure it's short. Those are the digits you want to dial into. And the destination of those digits is going to be comfort. Not arrogance. Not self-righteousness. Not the ability to win arguments and destroy your brothers and sisters in Christ with your intelligence. It's comfort. What I'm about to say is leading you to the destination of comfort for you and for others because God's word is true and it gives comfort. Final set of numbers that make it sound like a phone number. These come from that sermon from 15 years ago, seven digits describing. This was birthed partly because of my churnings years ago with people say, "Oh, I'm Reformed." And I think, "Oh, really?" And then you spend time with them or you listen and think, "No, you're not." Or you're kind of. And so I got a little bit more persnickety about the Rolodex, what goes through my mind, the assessment, like just what's happening here. Like I'm listening for these seven things as summarized in those seven digits. I'm Reformed. Well, let's see. Longer version, again, somewhere else. The short version goes like this. The five means you affirm the five solas of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation. The next five, that you affirm the five points of Calvinism, the doctrines of grace. The three means you affirm three forms, or that you're confessional. I'll get to that. Two is two sacraments, one, all to go together. That's covenant theology. One church, one plan, one story. If you say, what? I'm just going to do a brief elaboration, and then we'll close in prayer. I have another Post-it. It goes like this. Kept this all on the Post-it. The five solas, they are on the sign out there. They're on your bulletin. They're in Latin. I'll do you the English version. It means if you're Reformed, historically, you understand the context. You're coming out of a church that was being a little wayward, and the Reformers wanted to go back to things that sola. Only or alone, sola, only Scripture. It's your only authority in life and faith. Solus Christ, Christ alone. He's the only mediator. You want a Savior? There's only one of those. You don't need another priest. You don't need another sacrifice. You have Christ. Grace alone. Salvation by grace alone, not your works. Not even one of your works. None of your works. Faith alone, sola fide. Faith is the only means ordained by God to grab a hold of Jesus and this good news. And sola Dei Gloria, for God's glory alone. That's where all things were created. Your life, your service, everything is for God's glory. Those are the five solas. There's a longer version online if you want it. 5 points, that was a long sermon too. That was 2 months ago. Those were the doctrines of grace, total depravity, right? Unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. And if you say, what? Again, that's not the purpose for today, to review all those. But I will say this in this setting. You need to embrace all five to be reformed. Just saying. Three forms is a shout out to confessional churches. If you're Presbyterian, that would be the Westminster Standards in our church. It's the Belgic Confession, the Heidelberg Catechism, the Canons of Dort, which are the doctrines of grace. I'm known to feature at a longer with a longer breath, but I'll make it short, that confessional, by confessional, I don't mean conservative. It may mean conservative, but it doesn't. That's not what this word means here. Confessional means that you grab hold of particular teachings that we can point at about which God, which Jesus, which humans, what is your need for salvation. Conservative can mean, you know, you're trying to conserve some set of morals or conserve your money fiscally or conserve some political view. That's not what this is. Conservative, we mean confessional. It's an upgrade from the word, are you a conservative church? What do you mean? Are you a confessional church? Yes. Three forms, two sacraments, not two ordinances, not seven sacraments like Roman Catholics, two sacraments, different sermons. One church, one plan, one story, that's covenant theology, which in short means that from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of time to the end, Old Testament, New Testament, God is telling one story about his one Son and his salvation of his people like you. And like I mentioned in the sermon a couple months ago when we looked at the TULIP, the Doctrines of Grace, when I think of character, the character of Reformed distinctives and doctrines, I want to emphasize comfort. And I mention this again because I'm well aware that not all Christians dig Reformed teachings. Some people don't even like precision in distinctions at all. They find it tedious. Many Christians do delight in this, like me, like we at Grace URC. I hope these digits of 553-2111 please us. They help identify us, maybe especially in an area like the 509. But that said, that might seem like a happy ending, but I want to recognize as we celebrate our own Reformation Day distinctives, I'm happy to expand on the bigger picture that reveals the global church, one that goes beyond our own country in the U.S., one that is, in fact, cosmic. The ends of the earth, all who live under the rule of King Jesus, starting with that big, majestic one, zooming into a 509, meanwhile, delighting in distinctives like 553-2111, taught and understood. And when they are taught and understood well, they bring to the hearer comfort. All Christians in this world need comfort. We bring good news to God's people week after week, and we celebrate these truths even this day, the Lord's grace in saving any of us, for calling sinners to himself, calling us to dial into numbers, perhaps, numbers that assure you that we are called into one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, who has given each one of us grace. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for grace and for making your people one, for calling us to a new life, a worthy walk, a true family that we can live in together. We thank you as well for your word and its clarity and the conviction and comfort it brings as your Spirit reveals to us depths and deeply satisfying truths that encourage in our walk, that walk that goes all the way to the day when we see you face to face And for this grace and the glory that awaits your people, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.